My name is Daryl Holness, and I am a Hurricane Katrina evacuee. Since the storm, I have worked with a project entitled Surviving Katrina and Rita in Houston. Through this project, scores of individuals like myself who were displaced to the Houston area by this devastating event have worked to collect the stories of their fellow survivors. Here are some of their stories. Hurricane Katrina erased 1,000 years of civilization overnight as the Gulf Coast was left in the dark, and even the most basic forms of transportation and communication were rendered useless. Most of the modern inventions that define our contemporary world failed, with the exception of the cell phone. Even those of us who watched the flooding from the safety of distant dry homes relied on the cell phone. Native New Orleanian Tia Alexander discovered this early on.
I watched this entire thing unfold on television. I'm sitting there and my girlfriend is calling me from the Hyatt because I gave her my room since I didn't stay there.
Tia found that while calls were tough to make on her cell phone, she could at least send text messages.
I'm just getting all these text messages and emails from everybody, and I'm sitting there watching the news and everything, emailing my friends back and forth, some who still work for the city and the school district, because I see things on TV there. They don't have any communication, and I'm emailing back and forth saying, well, the news is saying this, the news is saying that. What's going on? Is this really what's happening?
Her messages kept friends informed about what was happening around them and guided a few to the life-saving help they needed.
But as I said, my girlfriend was in the Hyatt with her parents, and her father's a diabetic. And at that point, they had like run out of stuff, and he was getting sick. And she was trying to figure out, you know, where can we get some food kind of thing. And I had some colleagues from Channel 4 in there. So I'm emailing them back and forth, emailing her, trying to get them together so she could go and get something for her dad. And that worked out for them, you know.
To the east, in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, Angela Trahan and several family members braved the storm, locked in the dorm of a private school, caring for dozens of international students who had nowhere else to go. A single cell phone call meant the difference between life and death after Katrina's storm surge surprised them in their sleep.
By the time I opened my eyes, I was drenched. I was soaking wet. It was just crazy. It was like everything was crashing in all at once. I mean, the windows started breaking. There was glass flying everywhere. I mean, we couldn't do anything. And my mom was crying. And she called one of the administrators, Miss Adrian. And I mean, this had to be when the eye of the storm was hitting. So I have no clue how they had cell phone service, you know, in the midst of all of that. And she called Miss Adrian, and she was like, you know, we're going to die in this kitchen. Please, you have to tell the brothers. They have to come and get us. And by the time they got there, I mean, we were, you know, up to here. And it was like 2 minutes. It was up almost, you know, to my neck. And when we left out of that building, it literally tumbled.
Others who thought they had reached some safety far from the eye of the storm began to understand the cell phone as a singular lifeline to the outside world. Knowing this, Deborah Brown volunteered for a simple but essential task during her days in the Superdome.
Eventually, what I decided to do was power people's cell phones. And one of the guys from the reserve was very kind because they had all the communication equipment there, you know, so we could help people get their phones so they could tell their family that they were all right.
Still, after days of waiting, the evacuation effort was stalled. Cell phone conversations with family and friends who were watching events unfold on television made Deborah and others like her in the dome realize that the progress of rescue was being misrepresented.
So one guy was on the phone saying, my auntie on the news that on CNN, they're telling everybody they busing us to Houston, and we don't have no buses here. And by that time, everybody knew CNN number. I became like an activist. Nah, you know, I say, get on the phone, call CNN right now and tell CNN. I said, I know y'all have cell phones because I help power them up. I said, everybody need to call this number. And I gave them the number that they need to call. I said, call CNN and tell them they have not gotten us out this Superdome. And so I really do believe to this day that's what helped buses come to get us out of that place.
The cell phone may have been a key to greater official accountability, but it also continued to touch lives personally. Like Deborah Brown, Diane Hampton found shelter for herself. but she continued to worry about her father, who had faced the storm in one of New Orleans' most badly flooded neighborhoods. A single cell phone call from Houston changed that.
I was really, really worried about my dad because my dad stayed in the lower ninth ward and we hadn't heard anything from him. I was really, really worried about him. And we went to a prayer meeting. It was in the middle of the day, and there was a guy who did a little short sermon for us. And like right after he finished with that sermon, I got a phone call on my cell phone. And it was a lady calling me saying that she had my dad at her house. And I mean, I just started crying. I was crying, but I was happy that I knew that my dad was okay. The lady let me talk to him, and she brought him to the shelter. And he started telling us a story of how he almost drowned. A boat came by and rescued him. And finally, a bus came and picked him up, and they brought them to Texas.
Eventually, the cell phone became a way for those not directly affected by the storm, especially the citizens of Houston, to reach out to evacuees. Glenda Harris remembers outpourings of generosity, and the cell phone was often at the center of these responses.
We were blessed and we were fortunate. There were people in the VA hospital. I went there to get some other medicines for my uncle. A lady was there letting people use her cell phones because people's cell phones were not working from New Orleans. She just stood in the lobby, like, I got to do something, sitting there with tears in her eyes. Take my cell phone. You need to call somebody. Call or do anything that you need to do. Don't worry about if it's long distance, whoever you need to call.
And Carrie Myers recalls how a cell phone aided in the rescue of her son and his family from a motel rooftop.
My son was on the rooftop, and the troopers got the word somebody had a cell phone, which the cell phone, through God, saved a lot of people, that cell phone.
Unlikely as it may seem, like Glenda Harris and so many others, Carrie Myers sees this improbable modern gadget, the cell phone, as a gift from God. Hard as it is to imagine, while help was not always a phone call away, without the cell phone, the survivors of Hurricane Katrina would have suffered much more damage and despair. Surviving Katrina and Rita in Houston is a collaboration of the University of Houston, the Texas Commission on the Arts, the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress, and the American Folklore Society. Radio presentations have been funded in part by the Houston Endowment and the Houston Arts Alliance. For more information on the Surviving Katrina and Rita in Houston project, visit our website, www.katrinaandrita.org.